two friends taking pictures of the rising full moon on a summer night.
Two teenage kids doing what teenage kids do.
When a stranger with a gun and a death wish changed everything.
It was violent, it was senseless, and I will never understand it, I will never accept it.
I'm Amy Donaldson, and unfortunately, we're all too familiar with stories about how violence shatters lives. But what we rarely see is how they are rebuilt. In a new podcast, The Letter, we relive tragedy, but only so we can hear the rest of the story. The struggle to reclaim lives, the realities of grief, and the possibilities of forgiveness.
I believe in miracles. Sometimes I thought, there are no miracles. Yeah, there are, and this is a big one.
Follow The Letter at theletterpodcast.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
Veterans are who we are, what we talk about, who we fight for. This podcast sheds light on real issues facing our veterans. It informs the uninformed, it celebrates their triumphs, and provides hope to those fighting a silent battle. This is Upholding Valor. Welcome. I'm Jill Atwood, Director of Communications for the VA Salt Lake City Healthcare System and your host for Upholding Valor. Let's talk some pride today. Let's shout it loud and proud. And I've got a couple guests here who are going to help me. Each year, the nation celebrates LGBTQ Pride Month. VA recognizes the important contributions of all who have served, including the LGBTQ and related identities community. All veterans should have access to a safe and welcome environment. That's the key here. This year's VA theme is United for Equality. The theme underscores how employees, veterans, and their families have built and continue to build a culture of inclusion, respect, and compassion. In such an environment, every person is treated the same. Okay, today we're going to talk about how far we have come as an organization, VA. We're going to talk about resources, and then we're going to talk barriers that still exist for these men and women. Is that right, Michelle? We've still got some barriers.
Yes, we do.
Joining me now is Michelle Wilcox. She is the LGBTQ plus veteran care coordinator here at the VA Salt Lake City Healthcare System. And then we have Tish Olson. We've had Tish on before. She's fabulous. Certified peer support specialist. She's also an LGBTQ plus activities coordinator and a trans feminine veteran. Thank you so much for being here, you two. And I'm thankful I got those titles correct because, whew, they were a mouthful and important positions. So the first thing I want to do, Michelle, is turn to you. And I'm struck by all the pride flags everywhere. I can't help but notice it. Driving home all through my neighborhood, I've never seen anything like it. This year seems to be the breakthrough year, or am I imagining things? Talk to me about your thoughts of the community and what you're feeling. And Tish, I want to hear it from you, too, when you see all the pride flags everywhere.
I think what's going on is with there's a sense of solidarity also with what's happened with race relations. Mm-hmm. It also affects LGBTQ issues, and we want to be able to support minority issues. And so I think raising the flag wherever you are, yeah, says we care. We care about everybody.
What do you think, Tish? You've noticed them, right? They're everywhere.
Yeah.
They're everywhere. It makes me happy.
It makes me very happy, too. And the thing about it is I'm finally starting to see America start to become America again. In my opinion, we're starting to become a unified front again. Every person is a different person, and every person thinks a different way, and it's okay to agree to disagree. It's something that I think we lost somewhere along the line, mm-hmm, and now we're starting to find out that, you know, it is okay to disagree with someone, but to still support them.
Do you think what happened to George Floyd brought all of this to the surface, all of this to the forefront? the situation with him and pride and just equality in general, do you think that sparked something?
I know at the Pride Center, they changed their logo to include brown and black people because it did bring to light the lack of solidarity. Because when you lack rights, that's across the board, whether you're LGBTQ or black, brown, Asian. And yeah. I think together we all have to work together to address those issues.
Good point. Tish, your thoughts?
Yeah, I love the fact that they've included those colors too, because being a trans feminine woman and being white is, I still struggle with the everyday issues that we have, but I'm more concerned about my sisters, women of color, the transgender women of color, mm-hmm. that struggle even worse than I do. And they sit there and they have to fight the battle even harder. Mm-hmm. The race and the discrimination and just the pure hatred just due to the fact of color, and then also being transgender on top of it and just being different, it's a battle. I'm here to support everyone because everybody matters and things matter. And because of what happened with Mr. Floyd, is yes, it's brought it all to light, and I'm glad to finally see that we can finally rally around things.
Tish, talk to me about your struggles, the barriers you still face as a trans feminine veteran. As much or as little as you want to tell us about your story, I think folks listening could benefit, and that's why we're here today.
Well, sure, yeah. I don't mind sharing my story. Every time I share my story, I gain a little bit of my power back. The struggles that I still face today is I'm built like a linebacker. I've got a gunny's voice, and you know, unless I want to pay for an ungodly amount for surgery to stretch my vocal cords, I'm always going to have a gunny's voice. I don't think there's a surgery to where I can get my shoulders brought in any smaller. We're not at that stage yet.
Sure.
So, misgendering and misuse of pronouns is a big thing.
Can you describe that? What do you mean by that? This is for folks who are listening and they're maybe just completely unaware.
Okay, misgendering is I identify as female. I am female. I think as a female. But when I walk into the VA, when I walk into a store, people see that I'm built like a linebacker. They take a first glimpse of me and they hear my voice and they say, "Yes, sir, how may I help you?" And it's not done intentional.
But it's hurtful.
But it hurts. And if I have 10 people do it in a one-day period, even though it's unintentional, even though they didn't mean to, and even though they go and correct it, which is great, by the end of the day, that 10 people, that wears on you. And it feels like a microaggression. Get this funny looks at. I've been walking through a store and I've seen a family coming towards me, and all of a sudden the mother's taking her children and pushing them off to the side like they want to protect me, like I'm some kind of disease or something. That's why I'm looking so forward when I find someone that can make a shirt for me that says I'm transgender, not a disease. I'm not contagious.
Yeah, and, it is hurtful.
But, you know, the thing about it is the best way we can fix that is through education, through podcasts like these, and just move forward. And it's like I tell a lot of people that have questions that they ask about me, is one thing I like to leave them with is that, you know, you don't have to understand it. You don't even have to like it. But you don't have to treat us like we're subhuman. And I have another shirt that I love to wear because I am a 22-year veteran. And it says, "I fought for your rights to hate me."
Oh my goodness, that's powerful.
Yeah, and I've matured in my days. At first, when people would look at me as, you know, yeah, I would basically look at them and say, you know, you got a problem? What's your problem? You know, you got something to say? But now I've, I don't know, kind of grown up. I think I made it to age 21, you know, mentally. But now I look at it that most people aren't looking at me like they've got a problem with it, or most people aren't looking at me like I'm a thing, or I'm a, ooh, what the heck is that? They're looking at, okay, I don't know how to approach this person,
sure,
and I don't want to offend them. But when we sit there and we hide in that fear about offending someone or not wanting to approach someone, then all we can do is live on accusations or live on things that we hear about on the internet or things, you know. You always see the little video clips on Facebook about the person that goes ballistic at Walmart, mm-hmm, but you don't see, or the ones that are dressed way too wrong, but you never see the videos of all the normal people, all the ones that are just going about their day-to-day business, because that's what sells. And that's why I love doing this education. And biggest part of my education is, I talked about my sisters of color and brothers and sisters of color, whether it's trans feminine or trans masculine, you know, they are murdered on a much higher rate than anyone else in the transgender community. But right now, every single year, transgenders are murdered in the world, and in the United States, that number every single year has grown. And it's sad. And it's not that they committed suicide or that they got into an accident and died. I'm talking about full-fledged murder. Last year, three of them were trussed up and burned to death.
It's hard to fathom.
That's a lot of hate. Why? Because
and
we're
fear.
Different. Yeah.
And a lot of fear.
Why? Because we're different. I always love to add the fact, too, is that we've been here before. We've been here many, many times. You know, equal rights, women's rights, you know, men of color in the military, women in the military, the Tuskegee Airmen or the Red Tails. They're the men of color that they were a complete black squadron that proved to the military that blacks can actually pilot an aircraft, because they were saying that they couldn't do it. They weren't smart enough. And they came out to be one of the most decorated squadrons in the war.
Can you talk to me about what gave you the courage to finally be your true self and transition? How did that come about? When did you make that decision? How did you make that decision? Who was there for you?
My wife is what really helped me make the decision. Is I was hiding, I was dressing in my house, and my wife just basically asked me, she would ask me why I would dress or why I liked it, and I couldn't really give her an answer. And so she asked me to look into it, and as I was researching it, I also came up to the VA and started getting help for the issues that I have between my PTSD and suicide and anger issues and drug and alcohol. I actually found myself. And what gave me the strength and the power was all the support that I got from my wife, the support that I got from the VA, but also realize that I'm tired of living for someone else.
Sure.
You know, is it's not like I woke up one day and decided to be a woman. Is I finally realized I was dying as a man, and I decided I wanted to live. So I've decided to live, and now I look at it to where this is me. You like me, you hate me, that's up to you. But also, too, that's your issue. It's not mine. I'm not going to own it.
Thanks for sharing, Tish. Michelle, can you speak to that? So what kind of courage did that take? How do you get someone through that journey? If they present to you and want to take advantage of your resources, your expertise, how do you navigate? How do they navigate that? How can you help them?
I think first it's just incredible to show up. Right. Showing up is the first step. And having the expertise that we have here with Breeze Hannaford is really a gift. And I think having the support from other veterans who are going through the same thing and knowing that they're not alone, being aware of specific treatments that relate to what they're going through. And so having gender identity groups, having groups that treat the whole person, so not just their gender identity, but also trauma, but also mindfulness groups. And so I think just surrounding them with the care that they need. I think even recreation is something that's really important. That's why having Tisha doing this, being the activities director, being in a community where you feel safe to be yourself with the LGBTQ+ community really allows you to grow into yourself.
So you put that plus on there. What does the plus mean exactly?
There are a lot of identities that continue to, I think people need to be able to identify for themselves who they are. Intersex, there's IA, there's asexual, there's all sorts of identities.
There's pangender, there's non-binary,
pansexual,
gender fluid.
Mm-hmm.
So that is what the plus is gender is a spectrum. It's
sure.
You know, like the rainbow. I mean, on one extreme, you got the XY chromosomes, and that is your completely, fully, 100% max, masculinity. And then you got the XX, which is your femininity. But then you got everything that's all in between there. I'm the one that falls in between there.
It's the beautiful rainbow.
Yes, it is a beautiful rainbow.
How proud are you of VA's program? I know in the decade that I've been here, it's grown tremendously. And you're fairly new to the program. So talk to me about your excitement and your plans for the future and how you see taking this program even further.
So I've been here probably about a year and a half. Just in the VISN, we're superstars.
yes, you are.
Yes, Breeze started the program in 2009. So, you know, we were ahead of the game. I think we started as far as the nation in just 2016. I think our goal is to train on pronouns, train from our agent, like our facility, and train our whole from top down on how we can stop the misgendering or reduce the misgendering and using proper pronouns. And we have the goal to take that national, to record it and help that stop, help that reduce. And our peers are doing that. Mm-hmm. As a result of our PENTAD seeing that training, it was very powerful. We have these two positions were given to us for full-time hire, for two, like of one full-time hire, two half-time. So that, and I think that happened in 2 days. That never happens at the VA.
That's true.
That never happens at the VA.
She speaks the truth.
Yes.
And so our goal is a lot of the training. We continue, when during the pandemic, we were able to change about 9 groups to VVC. We were able to serve our veterans throughout the pandemic. We want to expand our recreation, mm-hmm. and Tisha's going to continue to do that. Increases our sense of community. We're trying to increase our evidence-based treatment. And in psychotherapy, that means this is research-based. We're connected with a LGBTQ individual across the country who's doing a lot of research, and we're building these programs with her and many other programs across the country. And so we're connected with several of those.
I would imagine the mental health component is huge. Am I
correct?
Right?
It's very extremely huge, because the one thing that people don't understand is that we're trying to figure it out ourselves.
Sure.
I mean, I was born in 1965. Transgender wasn't even a word. Best way to handle taking care of an issue was like that was heavily medicated, electroshock therapy, or frontal lobotomy. Ugh. You know, and so I learned how to hide very well. And so I wasn't able to come out until about, fully come out to the world was about 5-6 years ago.
Wow.
Yeah,
you stayed hidden for a long time.
I did. The whole time I was in the military, I had to hide. And I became a client of the program in actually 2010. You know, yeah.
During Don't Ask, Don't Tell?
No, of the program here, the okay. LGBT, you know, because Bree mm-hmm. started it, and I joined in the very next year,
right.
So I've been with this the whole time, too, or most of the time.
Because it started right around 2009, 2010.
Yeah, 2008.
Is that right?
2008, 2009,
yeah,
somewhere
right when
there.
I started here. It was yeah. about the same time.
And I kind of walked into the group not knowing what to expect. High and tight, wearing leather, and a corset underneath my shirt that nobody could
wow.
see. And but the thing about it is that with the mental health is that we are trying to figure out who we are, too, because mm-hmm. we're thinking this way, but yet society is telling us to think that way. And that's why a lot of times you see transgenders at Christian Beck, Navy SEAL. What better place to prove to yourself that you can do it, mm-hmm. you can be the man, by being with Special Operations? Jumping out of airplanes, rodeo, motorcycle racing, stock car racing.
Sure.
You know, a lot of us say, oh, well, you're just adrenaline junkies. Well, also, too, but we're trying to prove to ourselves that we're not freaks, we're not weirdos.
Right.
Because that's the only words we knew growing up. And the program now is awesome because, like with myself, is I felt like it was just me. I was all alone on an island. I was the only one that suffered from this. If I would have died in battle, I would have had a glorious death. I would have went to Valhalla and feasted with my ancestors. My little dirty secret was safe. It didn't happen. And the groups are wonderful, and I like the fact that Michelle and Breeze brought up the fact about the activities, is because that's the other thing we're looking for, is doing social things, getting that social
yeah.
connection within our community, but also just with the community in itself, because we need that connection. And when you've been hiding your entire life, or when you've been wearing a mask, and then all of a sudden you come out and, okay, this is me. It's yeah. raw. It's you're just as scared of you're just as scared as a person that's sitting there looking like, okay, what's going on?
Do you still feel that way each morning, or is it better?
I feel a lot better. I've kind of came to, you know, like I said earlier, I came to a realization that, you know what, this is me.
Yeah. Well, I
you like it, you like it, you don't.
I think you're extraordinary.
Well, thank you.
For being so raw and real and sharing so much.
Well, thank you.
I hope you've helped a lot of people that are listening, which brings me back to you, Michelle. So how do they take that first step? Where do they go? How do they get in touch with you or your program?
I think it's pretty easy. We have a website. Usually I have to look it up as well. You can just look up Salt Lake City VA LGBT, okay. And both Breeze and I are listed. You can call us, and as long as you're enrolled at the Salt Lake City VA, you're welcome in the program.
And you know what? If you're not enrolled, get enrolled.
That's right.
Exactly.
What are you waiting for?
That's it. That's all you have to do.
Oh, my goodness. Well, thank you both so much. Any closing thoughts before we go?
Yeah, as far as that enrollment is... I know there's still a lot of veterans out there that kind of look at it as that if war didn't kill you, the VA will.
So not true.
And I was just going to say, is I just want to put a little plug in for the VA, is that, you know, things have changed, times have changed. You know, the VA is a very wonderful place. And when I first started dealing with the issues that I had, the only place I thought was safe was my house. And then I started coming up to the VA. And the VA is another place I felt very, very safe. And they have helped me quite a bit.
Thank you. And we know veterans best. We just do. We, you know, focus specifically on veterans, medicine, healthcare, mental health. We've got some excellent people here. So thank you for pointing that out. I appreciate it.
And if I could add, if you're an employee here and you're happy... And as an employee, I love working at the VA, then I think you're going to serve your population well. And I think Salt Lake VA is a wonderful place to work.
Thank you both so much. I appreciate it. And thanks for joining us today for Upholding Valor. Stay safe, take care of each other, and be kind. This is Jill Atwood. I'm a VA employee, Army veteran, and veteran of Desert Storm. And this is really personal to me. There is no greater mission than to serve and fight for those who fought for us. Thanks for listening, and thanks for caring. If you enjoyed our podcast, please subscribe or rate us, or better yet, tell a vet and tell a friend to tune in by texting veterans to 57500 or go to kslpodcast.com/veterans. VA is honored to serve you. Talk to you next time.